Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
One person, how many love books? You love books? Books. And there was this guy, and this guy really loved books, and he had a friend, and his friend was talking about how he just threw away a Bible. And it was in the attic of his home where all his relatives grew up, and he found this big old giant Bible. I mean, you guys know those family Bibles, those massive ones? Okay, he pitched it, and the guy said, really? And he said, yeah, it was something in it, you know, some guy, you know, Guten. And the guy said, Gutenberg? And he's like, in horror, the book lover's like, you threw away a Gutenberg? And he said, that's one of the oldest Bibles. He said, one just sold for $2 million. And the guy said, mine wouldn't have been worth a dollar. Some guy named Martin Luther had scribbled all over it in German. Can you imagine getting Martin Luther's Bible? I mean, like, come on. I'm like, no. This little kid, true story, this little kid, he gets a hold of the Bible, and you know how kids are, you know, like he gets a hold of his Bible and he's like, dude, this is ancient. And his mom's just doing what they do. You know, they kind of got their kid on mute partly, but they're listening a little bit. And he's like, man, this thing is so big. It's so old. And he starts picking it up. And as he's thumbing through it, all of a sudden something falls out of it. So he picks it up and he's like, mom, check this out. And she's like, what is it? And he looks, and it was a leaf that was pressed, you know, in the Bible. You know how they press a leaf? And his mom says, what is it, babe? And he's like, I think I just found Adam's underwear. Anyway, some things are old, but I don't think that Bible, it wasn't around with Adam. Anyway, just saying. But today I want to talk about a true disciple and what the difference is. We've been doing a series talking about the making of a true disciple. And what's the difference of just a believer and having a head knowledge of Christ and actually being a disciple of Jesus? And a disciple of Jesus, I mean, we have a choice. And today's title is Faith in the World or Faith in the Word. And, you know, we can have faith in the Word. What do we put our faith in? What do we live by? Where's the borders on our streets we live on? What is that litmus test for everything that we do and say? What is the standard that we hold in our life? What are those principles, and where do those principles come from that we live by, that are those the things that are the unshakables in our life? And as a disciple, it needs to be the Word of God. A true disciple, they have their faith in the Word of God and that only. And we can see today that in the world, there's a lot of people that have no respect for the Word of God. They do not honor God. And a lot of them that are trying to lead in positions of leadership are really like, they frustrate you. Does that ever frustrate you to see unbelievers try to move with the wisdom that doesn't come from God? Am I the only one, or is there someone else in the room? They can't figure it out, and you're like, oh, God has something to say about that. Anyway, I'm going to come out of Psalms 119 today. I'm going to do a little bit different. I'm probably read a little bit more during this message, but I'm going to read out of the Word, and I want to pull some truths out of Psalm 119. I'm going to use the Passion Translation. Psalms 119, we're going to start in verse 89. Standing firm, listen to this, the wording, I can't tell you how many times I've just read this over and over and over, and I just still want to read it again. Standing firm in the heavens and fastened to eternity is the Word of God. Your faithfulness flows from one generation to the next. All that you created sits firmly in place to testify of you. By your decree, everything stands at attention, for all that you have made serves you. Because your words are my deepest delight, I didn't give up when all else was lost. I can never forget the profound revelations that you've taught me, for they have kept me alive more than once. Lord, I'm all yours. And you're my Savior. I have sought to live my life pleasing to you. Even though evil men wait in ambush to kill me, I will set my heart before you to understand more of your ways. You say, well, why read? It's like, I don't want to just know about him. I want to know his ways. I want to understand God's ways. I want his ways to be my ways. Verse 96, he said, I've learned that there's nothing perfect in this imperfect world except your words. for they bring such fantastic freedom into my life. I mean, just to start, God's word is eternal. I love this. Martin Luther said, the Bible is alive. It speaks to me. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands. It lays hold of me. The Bible, it's not just an antique, and it's not modern. It's eternal. His word is eternal. And Jesus was the word made flesh. Wrap your mind around that one. When God created the heavens and the earth, he spoke and it came. But Jesus was the word. In John 1, he says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. I love that. And that word comprehend means like to overtake it. Darkness can't overtake light. And if you read down a little bit more in verse 14 of John chapter 1, he says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. So Jesus came, the word manifested on the earth. And we think, well, I'm just reading a dead book. God's not dead, and his book's not dead. And his word's not dead. His word's alive. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We had truth in the Old Testament, but Jesus came full of grace and truth. And he showed us a better way. He showed us a living way. So what do we use for the standard in our lives? What authority governs our lives? George Washington said it this way. He said, it's impossible to righteously govern the world without God and the Bible. You get amen that one. Come on, George. So who will we let mentor us? Who will we let speak into us? Who will we let shape our emotions and our intellect and our reasoning ability and all of it? I mean, who will we? Because we allow who mentors us. Some of you say, well, you know, I sit in some classes. I have some professors that you know, I have to be there. Yeah, but like, what, you can be around people and be very pleasant to people that you fully disagree with. Hello, if you haven't learned that art, you need to learn that art. If you just voice what you feel all the time, you're in trouble in life. Some of you are like, I'm already in trouble. But I just want to bring up a couple things. Do you know, we serve, and I've said this, we serve an unlimited God, but there are a few things that God is limited by. First, he cannot break his own laws. His word is eternal and it sits in the heavens. He's not going to go against it. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in the heavens. His word is his word. And second of all, he can't save rebellious people who persist in rebellion, refusing to repent. Universalism would say we're all saved. We're all going to be saved because of Jesus. We're all going to be, you know, God's too loving. He's loving, but he's just. He's a loving God and a just God. Jesus came full of grace and truth. Yes, there's grace, but there's truth. And that's the loving God that we have. And I know I always used to read this Proverbs when I first got saved. One of my mentors would, he told us, like, you read every proverb for the day. So on the first day of the month, you read Proverbs 1, and the second, you read Proverbs 2. So every month, you go through the book of Proverbs. And when I would read Proverbs 1, I would read this. And in verse 22, he said, how long will you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scoffers delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you. So right away, when I got born again, like once a month, I was listening to, don't be hard-hearted and listen to God and God's word. And you need to make a U-turn on a lot of stuff. For me, a lot of stuff. I was 21 years old, and I had like, done a lot of stupid stuff. And so I needed a redo. I needed transformation. And he said, I will make my words known to you. And he said, because I have called and you refused, and I've stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes on like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come on you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. So I'm reading this and I'm like, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be that that way. I don't want to be the person who's crying out and God won't answer. I don't want to be the person stuck in this world who doesn't have God to be there for you. I need God. And I just settled. I need God. I need God's word. And he said, they would have none of my counsel. They despise my rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without the fear of evil. And I leaned on that. And I knew I needed to learn the word. I needed to study the word. I needed to read the word. And I needed to change how I lived my life. And I needed to learn how to live my life based on the word of God. And so I set out and said, I'm going to read it. I'm going to absorb it. I'm going to do everything to like make this shift. So what are the things God can't do? Thirdly, God, he can't recognize anyone as his child or his servant who serves sin and the devil. You can't have both. You can't be a child of the devil and a child of God. Jesus said it when they spoke to him and they said, Abraham's our father. He said, if Abraham were your father, then you'd love me. But he was saying, you know, your father is the devil. He's been a liar from the beginning. We need to recognize you can't say the devil's kids. God's not going to go, that's my kid. Yes, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. But there's a bunch of kids who switched their loyalty over to the devil. And the hook is called sin. And my point is that if you're going to live, if you're going to be a disciple, then you live like a disciple. If you're going to serve the devil and live like the devil, then you're in trouble. Because he can't recognize someone as his child if they're stuck. 1 John 3 says in verse 8, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Man was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So we can't just go, oh, it's okay, we can act like the devil all the time. Just go to church on Sunday, just do this one little prayer and you get out. As long as you say, I believe in Jesus, and you can live like hell and you're fine. Don't think so. In verse 9, he says, whoever has been born of God, they don't sin. And his seed remains in him. He cannot sin because he's been born of God. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. I'm not talking about you blew it and you sinned. You get ticked off and you say something and you go, whoops, I sinned. I need to repent. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those who practice sin, who live in sin. When you look at them, sin character is a characteristic of their life. Hello? If you look at somebody and you can't tell God's in there somewhere, then you need to like, we got it. You know what I'm saying? I didn't say it, but whatever. Galatians lists a whole bunch of stuff in Galatians 5. It talks about all this stuff. And we're like, you know, it's okay. We just need to be more tolerant. I don't know. It says the works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentious, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, which you tell you beforehand, as I told you in times past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Those shouldn't be named amongst us. If you're a true disciple, it's like, we're not going to get named amongst this stuff. We don't act like that. We're getting freed and delivered from that. The word teaches us not to do that. You say, well, you know, it's okay. Hey, I'm not saying you can't drink, but it clearly says you can't get drunk. I'm not saying you couldn't be angry. God was angry, but don't sin. Doesn't mean you're a hothead blowing off at everybody and everything. Are you with me? There's certain stuff that if we're born again, if we're a true disciple, the fruit's going to show. And a disciple is known by their fruit, not just their intentions. Well, I'm intending to deal with that. The word of God transforms us and it helps us to deal with it. True disciples. So I want to pull five truths out of these Psalms. The first one is, and some of these truths are actually benefits that we get by reading the word. Hopefully they will benefit us in our lives. Number one is we live by faith in God's word. And listen to what he says out of verse 1 in the Passion Translation. You're only truly happy when you walk in total integrity, walking in the light of God's word. What joy overwhelms everyone who keeps the ways of God, those who seek him as their heart's passion. They never do what's wrong, but will always choose the path of the Lord. God has prescribed the right way to live, obeying his laws with all our hearts. Verse 5, how I long for my life to bring you glory as I follow each and every one of your holy precepts. And then in verse 8, he says, I will be faithful to all that your word reveals. So don't ever give up on me. Can you get that? Don't ever give up on me. I mean, do you hear the psalmist? He's don't ever give up on me. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Somebody wrote that in the Bible. Don't ever give up on me. I was like one of 10 kids. You know, like I was pretty rambunctious child. That was nice. I sinned a lot. I was a little troublemaker. I was bad to the core. I mean, I just did a lot of stupid stuff. And out of my 10, you know, out of all of our siblings, if you had to look at them growing up, I probably would not have looked like the one who would be a minister at all out of those. And my mom got born again, and for 7 years she prayed for us, but I was the first one saved out of the crew. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So sometimes, like, the one that looks like they don't have a chance is the one that has a chance. You know what I'm saying? I was 21 years old, and from 6th grade till 21, I ran hard and just rebelled and did drugs and whatever I could do. I was a heathen, but I ran hard into sin. But at 21, God arrested me with his great love, and his word transformed me. He healed me. He delivered me, and his word works. People think, well, like, you know, we need to do this and that. Hey, I got to tell you right now, if you don't have the supernatural power of God, there's some people, there's no way they're going to break free from their lifestyles. You know, maybe for the most disciplined and the, who knows, maybe somebody could, like, live under religion's laws. But without the power of God, uh-uh. But the word of God, it works. It works. We live by faith in the word of God. Ronald Reagan had some sound advice. He said this: within the covers of one single book, the Bible, are all the answers to the problems that face society today. If we would only read it and believe it. If only. So I want to talk about some of those benefits. The second one, number two, is we receive true fulfillment from God's word. As we read the Bible, we receive true fulfillment. And I say true because there's a temporal fulfillment and a true fulfillment. You can go out and buy something right now that you want, but then, like, not before long, you're like, whatever, it's not as fulfilling as I thought it was going to be before when I wanted it. You ever been there? You got to have something, and you get it, and you're like, okay, whatever. It's gone. And you know, true fulfillment, because even sin is good for a season. And people fall in sin because they got to have it. And then after a while, they're like, it's got me now. I don't have it. And it's not so fun anymore. What I thought was going to bring freedom and liberty just brought bondage in my life. Am I talking truth or what? I thought, let me preach over here. And, you know, so true fulfillment comes from God. And I'm talking, there's a difference between temporal fulfillment and lasting fulfillment. And the Psalms, God's word brings lasting fulfillment. Psalms 119, verse 17. Let me, your servant, walk in abundance of life that I may always live to obey your truth. And look at verse 18. Open my eyes to see the miracle wonder hidden in your word. Miracle wonders hidden in the word. I don't know if I want to read my Bible. There's miracle wonders hidden in the word. Miracle wonders in there waiting. As you open it and you're like, whoa. And it clicks, and the rhema breathes in, and it lights you up, and you're like, my Jesus, you're so awesome. And then before long, you do the thing you read, and you go, that's why it's a miracle wonder, because we not only read it, but now it becomes alive in us, and now I get to walk out that word. Because he did it, so I get to do it. Isn't that powerful? Jesus said, he said in John 10:10, he said, a thief has only come with one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect. Life in its fullest until you overflow. Miracle wonders, life overflowing. This is what we have. And yet, the world's shifting. Do you know that Google's the go-to mentor today? I'm sorry. Google's great for some things. It'll even help you find stuff in the Bible. It'll help you find some good stuff. But, like, Google can't be your mentor in everything. Yeah. And yes, the fatherlessness and motherlessness in the homes and the lack of relationships in our society, this is a problem in our society. And we need real mentors. So, yes, we need men and women to father and mother a generation, not Google. But there's also 66 mentors. They're books of the Bible. And they're waiting. Before I want to go get I have mentors. You know, Pastor Talendi, well, you say, well, they're pastors under your leadership, but they still mentor me in issues. I sit down with them and I tell them things and I get wisdom from them. Why? Because I at least I know that much that you can gain from all different kinds of people. I gain different things from different people. And I have mentors in a bunch of different areas. I have a leadership mentor and a marriage mentor. And I have, you know, you get different mentors. But you know how I want to start every day? I want to be mentored by this word of God. I want these 66 mentors. I want to start here. So this is where we start. Not opening up our electronic phone and looking at Google, looking at our texts, looking at our whatever. Not sitting there on your droid. Who's your mentor? My first mentor's a droid. Android. Really? Seriously? How about we just start with God? How about we start with God as our mentor? How about we seek Him first and all these other things? I think that's somewhere in Matthew 6:33. I'm just messing with you. How about we need God? Psalms 119:19, He says, my life on earth is so brief, so tutor me in the ways of your wisdom. Mentor me, God. Let me open the word. I started doing ministry, and I didn't have any formal education. Robert knows. You know how I did my Bible studies? I'd grab the Bible, I'd throw it on the ground, I'd be like laying there face down going, God, I'm supposed to preach to people. I don't know what the heck I'm doing. I just got saved 6 months ago, and I'm supposed to be putting together a Bible study. I don't even know how to do a Bible study. Speak to me now, God. Tell me a book. He'd tell me a book. I'd open it up. I'd put a bookmark. He'd tell me another one. I'd open up. I'd put a bookmark. I'd write them all down. Then I'd open them up and say, do any of these make sense? And I'd find an outline in that thing somewhere. And then I'd go preach it. I had to have a Holy Ghost leadership because I didn't know yet. How many know when they got saved in the Bible and they got filled with the Holy Spirit, they didn't have the books written yet. They had experience that they didn't have the doctrine for their experience yet. You guys have so much. And yet, how could we neglect it? How could we not go to it? How could we not let it mentor us? It cries out. And His word is right there. If we could take and say, let's just take all the money that's spent in counseling. There's a time when counseling is good. Counseling's right. You need marriage counseling? Get counseling. You need finance counseling? Get counseling. But how about 66 counselors in the Word of God that are free every day waiting for you? He says, Psalm 119, he says in 23, for even the princes and my leaders choose to criticize me. I will continue to serve you and walk in your plans for my life. Verse 24, your commandments are my counselor. Your word is a light and my delight. Oh, say light and delight. Isn't that awesome? His word is a light and a delight. Number three, next benefit is we receive encouragement from God's word. We need encouragement in this world. Information age, there's all kinds of stuff happening, but there's a lot of times people, they need encouragement. And Psalms 119:25, it says, Lord, I'm fading away. I am discouraged and lying in the dust. Revive me by your word. Like, just like you promised. I've poured out my life before you. You've always been there for me. So now I ask, teach me more of your holy decrees. Open my understanding to the ways of your wisdom, and I will meditate deeply on your splendor and your wonders. My life strength melts away with grief and sadness. Come, strengthen me and encourage me in your words. The word of God revives us. The word of God encourages us. It encourages us. See, truth of the word of God keeps us from being discouraged, from having your courage taken away, having your courage dissed or discouraged. But the word of God gives us courage. We read the word and we're like, oh my goodness, look what David did. Oh man, I'm going to get some boldness on today. You look at Peter and you're like, whoa. And you walked on water and I'm afraid to like go into my exam today. No, I'm going to walk in there. Hello, are you here? It's like the word of God emboldens us. The word of God, it blesses us. It encourages us. Spurgeon said, a Bible that's fallen apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. Serious, you look at Pastor Taylor's Bibles, they're like falling apart. Look at Pastor Andrew's Bible, it's like falling apart. But he's not falling apart because he's reading that thing. Hello? Truth dispels lies. So the more truth we put in, the more lies it pushes out. If you say, well, you know, like, I don't like my life, you're probably partnering with some lie about yourself. Because you're a son or a daughter of the Lord God Most High. You're blessed coming in, going out. You are prosperous, blessed. You know, like, really seriously, like, what lie are we partnering with? How do we get rid of those things we're partnering with? How do I even know where I'm partnering with lies? Truth. And when you read the Word of God, it pushes out the lie. And suddenly you realize, wow, I'm believing a lie. There's no hope for me. I don't know. Jesus said, friend. And when Judas kissed him, it's like, there's even hope for Judas. Hello? Nobody's like, hello, there's hope for me. I know none of you want to relate to Judas. What I'm saying to you is, take the epitome of betrayal, the epitome of, like, I'm like toast. No, God's, there's hope for all of us. God loves us. And truth will push it out. Number four, I just wrote, in God we trust. Do we really? What do we put our trust in? He says in Psalms 119:41, may your tender love overwhelm me. Oh Lord, you are my Savior and you keep your promises. I always have an answer for those who mock me because I trust in your word. The word's powerful. See, reading the word will get you to know the word. But it's when you put the Bible down and you start walking in it, you get to know the author. Are you here? You get to know and trust. You take a dollar bill and you say, in God we trust, written on the dollar bill. But like when you really start walking it out, you learn to trust God. Are you here? I've seen some things before. And I've seen people who really don't want God because they want money more than God. And one of the things, and I'm sorry if I'm touching something with someone in the room, there are exceptions and there's some legitimate cases, but I've seen people who come forward and I say, I want to pray for you for healing. They say, no, no, I want to get my settlement and get the money first before I'm healed. And I'm like, what? How about you get a miracle right now? God wants to heal you. No, I don't want the miracle until I get the money. When they pay me the money from the settlement, then God can heal me. So I was faced when I fell down the other day, 3 weeks ago. I'm like, okay, they're saying I can get 10 grand, 25 grand out of this thing and all that. And I just went to God and said, I really don't feel comfortable getting the lawyer and going through all the stuff. And he said, then don't. And I said, great, then I'm going to put my hands in you instead of the doctors and all the other junk and watch God heal me. And now I'm standing here. I didn't that thing off of me in 1 week. You know, look at my movement. And I know maybe you need to walk through it. Please don't make my experience your experience. But when God speaks to you and he says, do you trust in me? And I said, I trust in you. I trust in you for my healing. I trust in you. And I don't care about the money. Oh, do I need it? I could have used 10 grand. Who else in here couldn't use 10 grand? And if not, you could give it to a really good cause sitting right next to you probably. Somewhere close to you. I could ask who's the cause. Okay, that's great. But like really, there's a challenge is, do we govern our lives by the word of God? Do I really believe by his stripes I'm healed? Do I really believe in God I trust? Is God the one I put my hands into? And I'd rather put my life in the hands of God and trust in him than in the world. Who do we trust in? And look what he says, his tender love. May your tender love overwhelm me. Ah, we can go in the word and get tender love from God. You're like, that's just soft and gushy. Some of you need some soft and gushy in the morning. You'd be better at Valentine's Day with a little tender love coming into you to get tenderized so you could actually speak to your wife instead of just like doing like the guy on the screen we saw earlier that's like, she should know all that. No, tell her. Nobody's moving. They're like, not me. Is he talking about you? I don't know. He's talking about Gabe. He's not talking about me. Verse 47, my passion and delight is in your word. I love what you say to me. Do we really love what he says? I long for more of your revelation and your truth. Are we really loving God's word? And do you really long for what he's going to speak to you when you go to open your Bible? Who watched Super Bowl? How many watched Super Bowl for the commercials? Be honest, you didn't care about the game. You wanted to see the commercials. Some of you. I wasn't really super happy with all the commercials this year. Did you see some really good ones? It's kind of like, yeah, but one that stuck out to me was the one that was just wrong, and it stuck out, was the chunky milk. How many, like, chunky milk? Can I have some more of that chunky milk? And I'm just like, oh, my goodness. I lived with my brothers and bachelor house, and like, okay, I confess. When I was little, we had 10 kids, so I was too lazy to get a cup, so I would just grab the fridge when no one's looking, try to swig some milk off the jug, and then my sisters or brothers would bust me. Mom, Danny's drinking off the milk jug again, and be in trouble. Okay, how many know? Okay, I was a bad kid. I was the kid who would swig right off the milk carton. It was bad. But I got my payback. Because I moved in with my brothers, and there was some milk in there that might have been in there for months. And I grabbed that thing, and I took a swig off the milk jug because I built a habit. And I got some chunky milk. And you swallow that. I am a milk sniffer. Now I smell the thing. I don't swig off the jug anymore. Ever. I think I'm weaned from that. But even before I pour it in my stuff, I'm going to sniff it. You know, I'm always sniffing it. Teresa's like, it's fine, you know. And I'm like, just making sure I'm not getting chunky milk. How many know if we just believe the Bible's just got sour stuff and it's going to rebuke us, we're not going to open it and read it. But if you really believe it's a delight, I like ice cream. Does anyone like ice cream? So I really like ice cream. So I want ice cream. I it's a delight to me, not chunky milk. What's the Bible? Is the Bible chunky milk or is it a delight? Like whatever you would like a delight. See, like if we don't get past the discipline of opening the word, it never becomes a delight. Are you with me? But when you get past the discipline, you get to delight. When you go to the gym and you go once or twice, your muscles are hurting. After a while, past the discipline, you're delighting with the way that your body's looking and feeling after you've made a discipline. Is there someone in the room? When you start praying, you're like, whatever. But then after you get through that, then all of a sudden you have a discipline. Now it's a delightful prayer time because you're in the presence. I'm just saying, all you're going to remember is the chunky milk. I know. Go, what was his sermon? Chunky milk. I don't know. I'm stuck on chunky milk. Number five, the word of God brings confidence and hope. Confidence and hope comes from God's word. In verse 49, Lord, never forget the promises you made to me, for they are my hope and my confidence. Who doesn't need hope and confidence in the day we live in? Verse 52, your revelation light is eternal. I'm encouraged every time I think about your truth. There's thousands of promises in the Word of God, thousands, but some of them are going to be yours. They're going to speak to you, and you're going to go, whoa, look at this one, babe. Check this one out. God just spoke this. I opened this up. This is our promise. Let's start making that our promise and declare that promise over our lives. Are you with me? Because the Bible, there's a logos, but then when God breathes on it, it becomes a rhema, and it's yours. He'll speak to you, and a passage will pop out at you. That's God speaking to you. But there's thousands of promises. Which ones have you taken? And there's seasons in your life where sometimes you need to claim one promise, where maybe you're having a financial difficulty. You need to claim that never did the righteous beg bread, and that all the blessing is mine, and that the thousand on the cattle hill, my daddy owns it all. I remember doing some things where I said some things that I put faith in God, and I just, because I know God, he's rich. My dad's super rich. Hello? One time we were going to Cold Stone to get some ice creams when Zach was about 10 years old, and he's like, Dad, can I get a quart? And I'm thinking, a quart? It's like 10 bucks. Whatever, 12 bucks. I'm like, dude, how about an ice cream? And then he's like, what? I thought we were rich. We're rich, aren't we? And I said, oh, yeah, you can have whatever you want. I'm like, he thinks we're rich? I'm not going to pop his bubble. Who am I to pop his bubble? He just thinks we're rich. We get whatever we want. We can, you know, we don't have any money issues. You just go to the store. We get food and it spits money out also. We take money away from the grocery store. We go to the bank. You put a card in. Money just comes out. Where's our faith and trust, our confidence? When you know the word, you can stand on the word. You can speak his promises. And then what about with music? What a masterful job last week just to see what's behind our worship. What a great job Matt and Annie did. Pastors Matt and Annie are just awesome. But read this psalm, Psalms 119:54. As I journey through life, I put all your statutes to music. They become the themes of my joyous songs. How about we put the word of God to music? And have you ever been in a season in your life where there was a song that had something and it's the word of God in it that really like just blessed you? It's what you needed during that season and during that time? Because the word was put to music all the time. I have praise all the time, in the mornings, in the everywhere. I'm sandwiched in praise all over. I let it be a lifestyle because I need to be built up. I need all that God has for me. And I know he has for you. So let's land this thing. A few practical applications. One is we need to let our love be fed by his words. We have love, but we need to have our love fed. It needs to be, we need to have love input coming into us. And he said in Psalms 119 verse 121, don't leave me to the mercies of those who hate me. Don't just walk out into the world and just expect God's going to work out my day. Start with God. For I live to do what's just and fair. Let me hear your promise of blessings over my life. We need to hear him speak to us. In verse 123, as a lovesick lover, I yearn for more of your salvation and your virtuous promises. Oh, I just need to just pour it over me. John Wesley said, I'm a man of one book. One book. It's like, we need to get it. Amy Carmichael, she said, why are we going to books about the Bible? Basically, the way she said it was, she was saying, like, never let good books take the place of the Bible. Drink from the well, not just from streams that flow from the well. Not just from a revelation that came out of it. How about we go to the source? How about we just go to the Bible? When they asked Billy Graham some things that he would change in his life, one of them was he said, I'd read less books about the Bible and more of the Bible. Just saying. And the next one, just a practical thing we can do is to wrap ourselves, and I put this my way, I said, wrap yourself in his bulletproof word daily. Wrap yourself. When you're on the force and you're going out, you put your Kevlar vest on daily. How about we put our Kevlar on? How about we put the Word of God on so that we can walk through this world? People don't even know they're wearing Kevlar underneath until you give a police officer a hug. I don't know how many of you hug police officers, but done it. There's a vest under there. Boom. You're like, wow, that's pretty solid. You know? Serious. You should buy them meals when you go there, buy their coffee, buy their food. You should bless our okay, moving right along. Okay, well, I do. Do it. And, you know, we need to wrap ourselves. And the Bible says this, and this is so beautifully put. He says in Psalms 119, verse 114, he says, you're my place of quiet retreat, and your wraparound presence becomes my shield as I wrap myself in your word. Do you just picture that? Your wraparound presence. You guys, right now today, Des was singing that song so beautifully, and it just felt wrapped. The presence was so thick, you're like, that's being wrapped in the presence of God. But you know, we should start our day that way. We should already start, like I'm listening to praise this morning and just letting him wrap me in his presence, let him wrap me in his love. We need that because that's what helps us to walk through our day so that we can walk so that when the fiery darts of the devil come, they just get, you could call it armor. Wrap yourself in his armor daily by the word of God. His word just wraps us. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, there's times when solitude is better than society, when silence is wiser than speech, when we should be better Christians if we were more alone, waiting upon God and gathering through meditation on his word, spiritual strength for labor in his service. And he said, why is it that some Christians, they don't really grow? And he said, it's because they neglect their closets and they don't, And they do not thoughtfully meditate on God's word. We need to let his word wrap us like armor. And the last one I'll leave you with is we need to, a practical thing you can do is just meditate on the high thoughts of God's word as much as possible. Just find something you're going to carry through the day just to meditate on his word. Psalms 119:97, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day long. And I want to challenge you with this because I just thought this would be a good person example is Joshua. So in Joshua 1, just in verse 2, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan as you see all these people. You and all these people to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. So he's telling him to arise and cross the Jordan. And a lot of times we have promises in a promised land. And God's told us, and we're supposed to arise to get into our promised land. But if we don't arise, we're not going to get into our promised land. See, Joshua had every opportunity to think the same stuff we think. Don't drop out right now. Just look, just stay with me for 1 minute. Just think about it. Just put yourself in Joshua's position. He could have had sad thoughts. Moses is gone. Moses is dead. Moses was like his spiritual mentor. Moses was his like father in the Lord and friend. Moses is dead, and he's like, I got to go this thing alone. He could have had sad thoughts. Moses is dead. He could have had fearful thoughts, like, we're going to get creamed. I mean, come on, Moses parts the sea. Moses is the one who tells Pharaoh, blood, the gnats, the frogs, the Moses is gone now. Now I'm stepping in. Hello? It'd be like, Brady's down. You're going in as the quarterback. Let's win the Super Bowl. And you're like, we're going to get creamed. I mean, Joshua, he could have had insecure, fearful thoughts. He could have been thinking, who am I? Who am I? You know, he could have had doubtful thoughts. These people aren't going to listen to me. They've been following Moses. Why would they listen to me? He could have had anxious thoughts. How am I supposed to perform? If Moses couldn't move these people into the land, how am I supposed to do what he couldn't? Are you with me? All these things were available to him, and God knew it. And he spoke to him, and he said this. And I really am closing with this. Joshua 1, 8 and 9. He said, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it all day and night, that you may observe to do according what's written in it. If we don't meditate on it, then we probably won't do what's written in it. And then God told him, then you will have success. And he told him, have I not commanded you to be strong? So just like Joshua, we have to meditate on those high thoughts of God's word. We have to meditate on that. No, I am a champion. I am a child of God. I'm coming over, not going under. I'm the head and not the tail. I am healed and not sick. I mean, try doing that one when you're like in pain and you're, I feel for it. Teresa looked at me. She's like, man, you're never sick. I'm like, I know I'm never sick. This is awkward for me too, you know? It was really weird, you know? It was really awkward. I'm like, no, we're the blessed ones and it should be awkward. But I felt for all those who deal with chronic pain, and I'm thinking, man, I just have so much more compassion for people that are less. But I need to start thinking the high thoughts of God. No, I am the healed of God. I am blessed of God. We are. If we don't think those high thoughts, listen, you will never rise above your highest thoughts. And that's what God's called us to do. Those five things. One, live by faith. Receive the fulfillment from God's word. Receive encouragement from God's word. Trust in God. In God we trust. Have confidence and hope that comes from his word. And then just put it to practice and let our love be fed by his word every morning. And put on that bulletproof Kevlar word of God that helps protect us from everything that happens once we leave our homes and go out into the mission field of life. And we meditate and carry that meditation on God's word. And as we do, you're going to be successful. Hope you got something good out of that. Would you stand with me today? Come on, let's just praise God. If we're going to do it, let's praise him. His word is powerful. Oh, he's good. I just want to pray with you. Maybe if you're here and you just say, you know, I really hope and want to go to heaven. But you don't get there by hoping and wanting to. You get there by just saying, Jesus, forgive my sins. And I just want to ask you, if all around the room, you just bow your heads for a second. And like I said, it's his word. He does love you, but we have to do our part. Jesus died on the cross. God did his part. He gave us his son. Now it's our part to say, forgive me based on what Jesus did. Forgive my sins. Based on the sacrifice that he paid for with his blood, based on him giving his life, I don't have to pay the price, but I have to receive that gift of salvation. And so I ask you to forgive my sins. And with your head bowed, I just want to ask you, if you're in this room and you say, I need that, I haven't done that, I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I want to go to heaven, I don't want to go to hell. If that's you, just look up at me and say, that's me. I'm going to pray that prayer today for the first time. First time. Anyone, just say, that's me. Everybody just bow your heads. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. I just want to let you know this is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. If you don't know you're going to heaven, you need to before you walk out these doors. And just say, I want to know that. If that's you, just look up at me and go like that, and I'll know that's you. Just give me a nod. Amen. Now I want you to pray this prayer with me. Just say, Father, forgive me. Forgive my sins. Come on, everyone all over the room, say, forgive my sins. I receive your forgiveness. Oh, I want your word inside of me. Shape me. I want your thoughts in my mind. I want your success that you've lined out for me. Now I just bless you in the name of Jesus. And I pray you have an awesome day, an awesome week. And I pray that word would help transform you and shift you into being just an awesome man or woman of God. I love you. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church. Give of your mercy.